Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 41 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Samantha Morrill.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins.
The new economic driver, it appears, kind of the new iPhone.
And that's why Moorhead Community and Technical College's Director of Institutional Advancement, Kara Clark, says the school will now be offering drone certification.
Witnesses say a man drove for miles with a body on his windshield after hitting a pedestrian in Covington.
And the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet is gearing up to do some bridge work.
In sports, the Rowan County boys basketball team has a district matchup tonight with Bath County.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy tonight and lows around 22 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
The Rowan County School District is moving closer to a possible $1.1 million project at the high school's football field. Superintendent Marvin Moore says the grass on the field would be replaced with artificial turf. He notes the Lexington architectural firm of Ross Tarrant has finalized the plan for the project, and it will go up for bid next Wednesday. The Rowan School Board will then review those bids and decide whether or not to approve the effort. Moore says if the okay is given, the work could start soon.
Well, our architect, again, talking to him last few weeks, what we're shooting for, if the board approves this project by March, if we can get break ground out there sometime in March, his best guess is that he thinks we'll be able to play our first home football game in August on that field.
Moore says the new turf field will not be only used by the high school's football team, but also by other sports along with the band. The field will be made available for community activities when the high school isn't using it.
A bioscience company plans to spend $32 million on a facility in Maysville that will employ 32 people. Owned by Intrexon and Darling Ingredients, EnviroFlight LLC will use the facility to breed black soldier flies. The fly larvae is used as a feed ingredient at fish farms. Mayor David Carbmill says this type of facility is an indicator of how Maysville's manufacturing industry is starting to change and diversify.
So many of our jobs were really dependent on mineral extraction, you know, and the burning of coal and the use of limestone, you know, to scrub the coal. So when the paradigm shifts, you always have to be ready to take advantage of things. And so we're getting some different industries here that are going to help us shift.
Carmel says $7,500,000 in tax incentives provided by the State Economic Development Finance Authority is a big reason why EnviroFlight decided to come to Maysville. The plant will be located in Industrial Park 2, just off the AA highway.
The State Transportation Cabinet plans to do $1.2 million of work on three bridges in Carter and Rowan counties. Starting Monday, crews will do some upgrades to the Kentucky 1274 bridge at the Rowan-Menifee County line. The span will also get a fresh coat of paint. Alan Blair is a cabinet spokesman.
Yeah, the repairs are mostly just to the joints, the steel joints that connect the bridge components. It's nothing serious. It's just the typical repairs that we do every so often on bridges. The painting is also, you know, our preservation for those bridges.
Two bridges on Kentucky 7 in Carter County will also be painted. One of them is over the Grayson Lake Dam spillway, while the other is above Clifty Creek. The bridge painting work will start in April and run through August. Blair says travelers through both areas should watch for possible lane closures.
Augusta appears to be on the verge of losing one of its historic structures. MSPR's Victoria Adji has more.
According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, Echo Hall on Frankfort Street was once a dormitory for Augusta College. The building, most recently a rental property, hasn't housed any students in over 150 years. It stands empty, and there's now an almost two-story opening in the back after a recent collapse. The structure had been for sale, but no takers were found. Augusta utility workers have now removed gas and water lines from the home, prepping it for potential demolition. The privately owned building sits across from the site of the original Augusta College, which was chartered as the first ever Methodist college in the U.S. in 1822. Between 130 and 170 students attended the school when it was in operation. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Victoria Agee.
Kentucky senior senator received some strong pushback today from a Western state Democrat as Mitch McConnell argued for the repeal of the EPA's stream buffer rule. The Republican and Senate Majority Leader is the sponsor of a bill to do away with the regulation, which requires coal companies to monitor water sources close to their mining operations before, during, and after the work. McConnell says that's overregulation and a job killer.
In my home state of Kentucky and others across the nation, the stream buffer rule will cause major damage to communities and threaten coal jobs. One study actually estimated that this regulation would put as many as one-third of coal-related jobs at risk. That's why the Kentucky Coal Association called it a regulation in search of a problem.
McConnell argues that the extra monitoring is unnecessary because Kentucky's Energy and Environment Cabinet is charged with that responsibility. Maybe so, says Washington State Democrat Maria Cantwell, but she claims the cabinet did such a shoddy job protecting the environment that Kentuckians harmed by mining operations had to sue the state.
In the state of Kentucky, their attorney general, they were such laggards at this. People sued the companies in the state because the state wasn't doing its job. And eventually, they uncovered massive failures by the industry to file accurate water discharge monitoring reports.
And that, argues Cantwell, is why the stream buffer rule was adopted.
Congressman Andy Barr is defending President Trump's executive order banning travel to the United States by citizens of Iran, Iraq, Yemen, Sudan, Libya, Syria, and Somalia. The Lexington Republican discussed the issue on WVLK.
In general, it makes just simple common sense to review our vetting of these refugees because, again, intelligence officials and the FBI have communicated very clearly to the Congress and to the American people that we do not have information about these individuals, sufficient information, even with the pretty rigorous vetting that already occurs.
Barr says he also supports the order because it's temporary. It's only supposed to last for 90 days.
The lone Democrat in Kentucky's congressional delegation is speaking out against President Trump's executive order on immigration and travel. Louisville's John Yarmuth spoke at a committee hearing in Washington today.
It's been heart-wrenching to see the immediate impact of the president's executive order during the past week. It is discouraging that the first immigration action of this White House separated families, vilified the innocent, and will fail to make our nation safer by every logical measure.
Yarmuth says the president's action is a reminder that the U.S. needs comprehensive immigration reform. The Democrat was among the so-called Gang of Eight, four Republicans and four Democrats, who drafted an immigration bill in 2013. Yarmuth says the Republican-controlled House failed to support the measure.
Floyd County Sheriff John Hunt says the Lee Gun community continues to be plagued by the abuse of synthetic marijuana. He tells WYMT his deputies have been working undercover for months, making multiple busts in the area.
Our tip line gets bombarded with it. We've had several parents call us begging for help that their kid has been using or synthetic marijuana. There doesn't show any signs of a let up, you know. The economy doesn't help. We know that. Some of these people don't have no other alternative to do to make money.
Hunt says deputies made two arrests Tuesday and seized guns, drugs, and money from the home of Dustin Stanley. He was charged with drug trafficking and possession. Michael Tackett was also taken into custody and charged with drug trafficking. Both men are held in the Floyd County Detention Center.
Southern Ohio State Representative Ryan Smith calls Governor John Kasich's proposed two-year budget tight, with revenue projections not as optimistic as they were when Ohio's last spending plan was approved. The Republican chairs the House Budget Committee, and his district includes part of Lawrence County. Smith talked about the governor's $144 billion plan at a legislative forum sponsored by the Associated Press. Kasich has called for more community involvement in the fight against drug abuse, and Smith says that's something lawmakers in his chamber will be focused on as well.
I think one of the House's big priorities is the opiate epidemic with his HOPES agenda, which is the heroin overdose prevention, education, and safety. And trying to build out a comprehensive plan from that standpoint and really trying to address what we think is Ohio's number one problem.
Smith says the not as rosy revenue expectations will force the legislature to be more creative and innovative this year.
10 cases of pertussis, better known as whooping cough, have been confirmed in Estill County. WYMT reports a few cases each year is common. But yesterday morning, the Estill County Health Department saw 9 cases at West Irvine Elementary and 1 case at Estill County High School. Paula Watson is with the county's health department. She says early symptoms of whooping cough are similar to those of the common cold, and says if you see those symptoms in your child, you should be concerned.
If your child has a cough, take them to the doctor. Get them tested.
Watson says whooping cough can be treated within a few days, and the best way to prevent it is the TDAP vaccine.
Students at the Rouen campus of Maysville Community and Technical College will soon be learning to pilot drones. The program is available thanks to a $1.1 million grant from the Kentucky Work Ready Skills Initiative. The drone operator class is being offered in conjunction with the college's lineman curriculum. Kara Clark is the director of institutional advancement. She says cable, power, and phone companies now want drone operators checking their lines and equipment.
It's safer. Right now, helicopters with human pilots obviously are being flown to check these lines, and it's a risky job. It's dangerous. You know, you fly an unmanned aircraft, a drone, you're not putting a human life in danger, and it's less expensive as well.
She adds there are several other industries that are turning to drones, and the market seems to be ever expanding. The program at MCTC is funded for the next 2 years and will serve 100 students.
Big Sandy Community and Technical College received a $30,000 grant to establish a new community dental health coordinator certificate program and to train dental hygienists. According to WYMT, it will provide 15 students with a $2,000 scholarship to help pay for the cost of the certification classes. This is the first program of its kind in Kentucky, and according to health officials like Dr. Nikki Stone, the program is much needed in eastern Kentucky.
We live in a culture where we don't value oral health. It kind of gets put down lower on the priority list, and that can be for a variety of reasons.
The program will focus on preventative measures such as regular cleanings and dental screenings, says Stone. She believes the program will have a lasting impact.
A deadly Northern Kentucky accident that started on the interstate and ended up at a gas station this morning is under investigation. The story from Mike Lindemann.
Witnesses say the driver of a car pulled into a Covington Speedway with a person's body hanging out of the passenger side windshield. Police confirmed a pedestrian was hit on northbound I-75-71, 4 miles south of there around 1 a.m. One other driver followed that car from the interstate to the speedway. Covington's Criminal Investigations Bureau is looking for more witnesses. I'm Mike Lindemann.
A Flatwoods man died yesterday after his vehicle went off the road and hit a home in the 3100 block of Kentucky 1458. According to the Ashland Daily Independent, 55-year-old Ronald Salyers died from injuries suffered in the accident. No one was in the home at the time of the crash. Drugs or alcohol are not believed to be factors in the incident. Salyers' body was sent to the State Medical Examiner's Office in Frankfort. The accident is under investigation.
A trial date has been scheduled for a woman who allegedly stole money from Trinity United Methodist Church in Augusta back in July. According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, Dorothy Barth will appear on April 5th and 6th in Bracken County Circuit Court. Barth allegedly committed 3 counts of theft by unlawful taking of funds from 3 accounts totaling nearly $57,000 from the church. She was the financial officer for the church at the time. She is out of jail on a $10,000 surety bond.
For the growing number of Kentuckians dealing with weight problems, assistance is available. According to bariatric surgeon Robert Farrell, 35% of Kentuckians are overweight, but there are now multiple types of surgeries that can help people lose their unwanted pounds. According to Farrell, the most common procedure is the laparoscopic sleeve gastrectomy, which reduces the size of the stomach in order to make a person feel full faster after a meal. However, he notes, even if you have that surgery, keeping the weight off will remain a lifelong challenge.
Weight gain, it's a tricky thing. It comes in the cover of night. You don't see it coming. It's 5 pounds here. It's 10 pounds there. Next thing is 50 pounds. It's 100 pounds. It's not like you put on 100 pounds overnight. When we hit that reset button, we want to change those lifestyle habits, but we want to make sure that we're watching you closely.
After laparoscopic surgery, most patients can lose 80% of excess body fat within a year. He recommends those considering the procedure find a center that will provide them with continuing support afterwards.
A former star athlete at Rouen County Senior High School is battling cancer. Doctors diagnosed 20-year-old Justin Graham with leukemia. He's being treated for the disease at UK Hospital. Justin's father, Charlie Graham, is in good spirits despite this tragedy. He spoke with WKYT.
It's just a test for a testimony, brother. That's all this is. It's just the thought that my baby there and, you know, what can I do? Well, I got prayer. That's about all I can do for him.
Justin's father says they have received overwhelming support from the Moorhead community and beyond. A GoFundMe page has been designed to help the Grahams with expenses. It has raised more than $17,000 in just 3 days.
Looking at the weather tonight, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy. Lows in the lower 20s, light winds. Friday, mostly cloudy, highs in the lower 30s with light winds. Friday night, cold, mostly clear, lows 10 to 15 with light winds. Saturday, sunny, highs in the upper 30s, light winds. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, a 20% chance of rain or snow, showers late, lows around 30, light winds. Sunday, partly sunny with a 20% chance of rain or snow showers, highs in the upper 40s. And for the temperatures in the listening area, Ashland, 43 degrees. Flemingsburg, 38 degrees. Inez, 44 degrees. Lexington and Winchester, 40 degrees. And Moorhead, 41 degrees.
The time is 4:45. You're listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Samantha Morrill here with Chaz Jenkins, and we're glad to be with you on this Thursday afternoon, taking a look at our feature. Vocational education and technology students from five eastern Kentucky counties are part of Building It Forward, a project designed to give them a wide array of skills while also addressing the region's economic transition. As Greg Stottlemyer tells us, they're doing it by building tiny houses.
The popularity of tiny houses has become a teaching tool for dozens of vocational education and technology students in eastern Kentucky. Students from five counties earning credits in math, science, and English, as well as construction and business skills, as they build three tiny houses. The Building It Forward project is the brainchild of Desi Bowling with the Kentucky Valley Educational Cooperative. She says the tiny house projects get the students engaged in learning and also address the region's economic transition.
So I think it does spark their creativity and then looking at how they can help their community, especially in our area where the coal industry has seen such decline.
Chosen last spring from six applications, each project received $15,000 to work with. The students, who come from high schools and vo-tech centers in Knott, Lee, Pike, Owsley, and Wolf counties, will have their tiny houses auctioned off at an educational summit in Pikeville on April 12th. Bowling says the money will be used to fund tiny house builds again next school year. Kim Casey, a senior at Phelps High School, says it's her favorite class and she's learning a lot more than just how to hammer and saw. She's learning about regulations and building codes, design and business skills.
How everything works, how everything is designed, and how everything fits together.
Johnny Stell is also in the three-hour-a-day vocational class at Phelps High School. He says he's gaining experience for a potential career in construction.
I came into this class not knowing anything about carpentry, never done it before in my life, and I came here and just learned so much.
Stell says he hopes to have his own construction business someday, and he's convinced tiny homes can become a great housing alternative in Kentucky. I'm Greg Stottlemyer reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
The time is 4:48. You're listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. Coming up at 5 o'clock is All Things Considered from NPR News, and Braxton Howard has sports. He's coming up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Round County boys basketball team will try to wrap up the 61st District Tournament's top seed tonight when it entertains Bath County at 7:30. The Vikings are 4-0 against district foes, but Coach Sean Thacker says a win over scrappy Bath County won't come easy, noting the Wildcats are playing well under first-year coach Bart Williams.
They're winning a lot of games that they hadn't been winning in the past. Their talent level's good. They got two kids that can go for 20 or 30 on you on any given night. So you've got to be ready to play against those guys.
Led by senior Jake Mitchell's nearly 20 points a game, Bath is 11-12 this season. The Vikings have won 14 of their last 16 games. The Moorhead State women's basketball team kept things rolling last night.
Behind Miranda Crockett's 18 points, the Eagles pounded Murray State 73-59 at Johnson Arena. The win improved Coach Greg Todd's ball club to an impressive 17-6 overall and 7-3 in the OVC.
This group, I think, they want to do something special this year, and we've accomplished a winning season already. We're getting close to getting 8 wins would guarantee you a spot in the OVC tournament, and getting close, but still every game's tough in the league.
The MSU women visit Southeast Missouri State on Saturday. Also playing at SEMO on Saturday are the MSU men. Senior forward Juwan Marrero and the Eagles have been playing well as of late. They've won 6 of their last 8 games, but Marrero says MSU can afford to take its foot off the accelerator.
We got to stay mentally tough. We should be able to, our bench needs to be ready, when we come in, because we are going to foul, and we all have to be locked in 1 through 12 and continue to support each other if we're going to take it to the next level.
The Eagles are 6-3 in the OVC and in second place in the league's East Division. The 8th-ranked Kentucky basketball team is preparing for a showdown with 24th-ranked Florida this weekend. Coach Sean Calipari gave credit to its team's 2-3 zone defense for Tuesday's overtime win against Georgia 90-81, but says that game plan won't work in Gainesville on Saturday.
We're going to Florida this weekend. You cannot play them zone because they got too many 3-point shooters. They got like 3 on the floor. And so you can throw a zone a little bit, but if you're thinking you're going to go in there and play zone and win on the road, so we got a tough road ahead of us.
Florida is 16-5 this season, 6-2 in SEC play, and coming off of an 84-52 win at Oklahoma last Saturday, they face Missouri tonight. Calling the group winners, Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops is very pleased with the 24 recruits the Wildcats came away with on National Signing Day. Stoops says when it comes to judging your team's recruits, he learned a key lesson from his former boss at Florida State, Jimbo Fisher.
It's not so much about the top of that class. It's not so much about the 1, 2, 3, 4 guys that everybody likes to talk about. It's about the guys at the end that you sign. If you look at our guys through the years, we've had some great success with adding some players late.
The Cats were able to bag 4 4-star recruits yesterday, along with 2 players from Kentucky, offensive lineman Austin Dotson of Belfry High School and quarterback Walker Woods of Lexington Lafayette. New Round County football coach Kelly Ford sees a bright future for the Vikings program. Ford was named to replace Gene Peterson earlier this week after Peterson left to become an assistant coach at Morehead State. Ford is Round's 4th coach in 5 seasons, but he is telling Vikings players and fans to dream big.
And our vision is Operation State Championship. I go to Bowling Green every year to the state championship, and I watch those things. And I look at those kids, and I was like, man, these kids, they're no bigger than our kids. They put their shoulder pads on just like our kids. How come we can't get there? But we got to dream the dream.
Ford had been an assistant coach at Round County for 12 seasons. With Super Bowl 51 just 3 days away, the Atlanta Falcons are hopeful star wide receiver Julio Jones will be on the field Sunday in Houston. Correspondent Mark Myers reports.
With the big game just days away, the Atlanta Falcons have ramped up their preparations. Tuesday was a day off for the players, but on Wednesday, the NFC champions returned to the Rice University practice field, located just 3 miles from NRG Stadium, site of Super Bowl 51. Wide receiver Julio Jones continues to recover from a toe injury, which caused him to miss 2 regular season games. They'll need Jones at full strength Sunday, going against the Patriots' stingy defense, which allowed the fewest points in the league. Mark Myers, Houston.
The Morehead State baseball team is just 15 days away from getting its new season underway when it takes on Jacksonville University. With another tough schedule on slate for the 2017 season, head coach Mike McGuire says that's just how he likes it.
I think it prepares you for OVC play, postseason play, and those are our aspirations. So, you'll see we'll play at Mississippi State, at West Virginia. We'll play at Louisville. Playing people like that just gets you better. And, we'll open the season in a tournament in Jackson, Mississippi. We'll play a Jacksonville team that's coming off a good year, got most of their rotation back.
MSU will look to make 2017 its 3rd straight 30-win season. Finally, in sports, the Morehead State soccer team has signed 7 players for next season. Coach Warren Lipka says it's a very athletic group.
I think this group it's a lot of diversity to this group. There's some things that a lot of these players that bring to the table that are different, and that's what we're trying to create is a team that you have to worry about multiple things and not just focus on one or two.
Lipka's recruits include 2 players from St. Louis, goalkeeper Megan Arnett and defender Lauren Coons, along with Kentuckians Caitlin Burdine of Woodford County and Holly Logsdown of Owensboro Catholic. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball will host Murray State at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesday, February 8th. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. Stocks ended mostly flat as investors looked ahead to Friday's jobs report amid growing tensions between the United States and other global powers. And the Dow did drop 6.03 at 19,884.91. The S&P 500 was up 1.3 at 2280.85. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 6.45 at 5636.2. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 15 to 13 in favor of winning stocks over losers. And of course, there continues to be continued tension between the president and the leaders of several different countries. It was today Australia and Mexico both being in focus as the president has had tense talks with leaders from both countries in the last few days. Among individual stocks today, Amazon was up almost 1% a day after announcing that the company will invest $1.5 billion in a shipping facility in Northern Kentucky at Greater Cincinnati Airport. Merck was up over 3% after reporting strong earnings for the fourth quarter. Mead Johnson soared 21% after receiving a takeover offer from a British company. And Ralph Lauren, CEO, stepped down today and the stock plunged over 12%. And in looking at Dow Industrial stocks today, your best performers were Merck and Cisco. Your worst performers were Caterpillar and United Health. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Mead Johnson and Citrix Systems, and the worst performers were Ralph Lauren and E-Trade. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated down $1.83 at $117.57, CSX down 82 cents at $46.27, AEP up 69 cents at $63.78, AK Steel up 14 cents at $7.93, Marathon Petroleum up 18 cents at $47.89, and Kroger was up 66 cents to finish at $34.10. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Mountain Arts Center in Prestonsburg, presenting the Steep Canyon Rangers in concert with special guest Tyler Childers, 7:30 p.m., Friday, February 3rd. The featured touring band for Steve Martin and Grammy Award winners for Best Bluegrass Album, the Steep Canyon Rangers blend high-energy bluegrass music with Americana mountain music. Steep Canyon Rangers with special guest Tyler Childers, 7:30 p.m. on Friday, February 3rd at the Mountain Arts Center. Tickets and information online, Facebook, or 606-889-9125.
Back to the weather one more time. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy. Lows in the lower 20s. On Friday, mostly cloudy. Highs in the lower 30s. Friday night, cold, mostly clear. Lows 10 to 15. Saturday, sunny. Highs in the upper 30s. Saturday night, mostly cloudy. 20% chance of rain or snow showers. Late, lows around 30. Sunday, partly sunny with a 20% chance of rain or snow showers. Highs in the upper 40s. And on Sunday night, mostly cloudy. Lows in the lower 30s. In Moorhead, it is 41 degrees.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff Chuck Moraz, Dan Conti, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Sean Delaney, Kenzie Thompson, and Victoria Agee. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyre, and from Kentucky News Network, Mike Lindemann. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Samantha Morrill for Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.